Good morning, this is Reed Collins with the CBS World News Roundup. The Archbishop of Popayan, Colombia, says his city looks like the end of the world today. The city of more than 100,000 was hit by a powerful earthquake yesterday. Alfred Lawn of the U.S. Embassy in Bogota says things are still confused.
There are estimates of up to 400, but the confirmed dead with names and everything run to around 150 at this time. They had to stop working in most areas at nightfall because they don't have any illumination. They feel that there are a lot more bodies under those ruins than they've been able to find so far.
The city's electricity, I gather, then is out. What about water and what about general health supplies?
60% of the city's water supply is out. All of the electricity is out, but mainly that's because it's been turned off on purpose because there's so many wires down. The water supply is being augmented by some tank trucks which are traveling through the city with water.
Is there public disorder?
No, there has been very little disorder and very little looting. They've been praising the good people of Popayan for their orderliness.
Almost all cities in that region of the world have had big earthquakes in the past. They seem to have been rebuilt from some specific time. Is Popayan one of those?
Popayan's last big earthquake, which did destroy the city on this scale, was in 1734.
The United States is sending in a plane load of tents to offer shelter to an estimated 6,000 homeless. The nickel-a-gallon gasoline tax that the Congress squabbled about and the higher road use taxes that independent truckers struck over is all effective this morning.
This is Rob Armstrong in New York. Pulling up to the gas pump this morning here and everywhere else across the country is more expensive than it was yesterday. The nickel-a-gallon tax on motor fuels adopted by the 97th Congress is now in effect, and most gasoline stations are passing that tax right along to consumers. The Independent Truckers Association says the new tax may drive some operators right out of business. Congress earmarked the funds for highway repair and mass transit. One philosophical driver said a tax by any other name is still expensive. Others said they just don't like it.
I think that's terrible.
In light of the recent reductions, we'll end up where we were about 8-9 months ago.
We're back to where we started from with the OPEC problems. Finally, we got the last lap, but Uncle Sam's going to give it right back to us anyway, so we're back to where we started from.
The American Automobile Association says despite the nickel-a-gallon gas tax, the overall price for gasoline this Easter is almost 3 cents lower than it was 1 year ago. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, New York.
The nation's unemployment figures for March are out this morning, and correspondent Ray Brady has the story.
The civilian unemployment rate dropped by a tenth of a percentage point to 10.3%, and the alternate unemployment rate, the one which includes the military, fell by the same amount to 10.1%. This is only the second time the jobless rate has fallen since the summer of 1981, when the economy went into the recession. Most economists had expected the rate to hold steady or possibly rise just a bit, and nearly 11.4 million Americans are still without work. Today's report, though, had several bright notes in it. The number of people forced to accept part-time work for lack of other jobs fell last month by nearly 500,000. The number of discouraged workers, those who have given up hope of finding work, held steady at 1.8 million. And the number of hours put in by those who do have jobs rose by 30 minutes for the average work week to 34.9 hours, usually a sign better times may be coming. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
Chamber of Commerce economists are predicting the unemployment rate may drop below 10%, but late this year. Britain's Ban the Bomb movement was on the move this morning, and Mark Phillips has that story.
Oh, live in my house.
Early this morning, the anti-nuclear protesters were singing as they continued their vigil outside the gates of some of Britain's main nuclear weapons facilities. Four of the protesters had been arrested overnight when they climbed the fence at the Greenham Common base where cruise missiles are due to be installed. The demonstrators were later released. But 40 other protesters have since been arrested when they, too, climbed the Greenham Common fence. Busloads of protesters have been rolling through the English countryside all morning. Organizers say they'll bring the total number of demonstrators to 40,000 before the day is through. They've come from all over Britain, many saying they're worried what a nuclear war could do to their areas.
Obviously, Coventry has been bombed once. In fact, I was in the bombing, and I don't want to see Coventry and my city and the country destroyed again.
The intent today is to form a human chain for 14 miles from Greenham Common, west of London, to a nuclear weapons research center, to a warhead factory. Mark Phillips, CBS News, London.
Pravda this morning is calling President Reagan's interim plan for missile reductions in Europe a propaganda ploy and nothing qualitatively new. But the Soviet media have been cautious not to reject the idea outright, and the official Kremlin view may be known tomorrow. The Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko, recently elevated to Deputy Premier, holds a rare news conference tomorrow in which the official Kremlin view may be set out. President Reagan says until Israeli forces are withdrawn from Lebanon, he'll continue to withhold the shipment of 75 F-16 fighter planes to Israel. Deborah Potter has more from Los Angeles.
For the first time, the president publicly linked the holdup in the plane sale to the presence of Israeli troops in Lebanon. In a statement that appeared to take officials in Washington by surprise, Mr. Reagan said that while Israeli forces are in the position of occupying another country that has asked them to leave, the United States is forbidden by law to release the planes. The reference to the ban on U.S. arms sales to Israel for anything other than defensive purposes. The president, in effect, was telling the Israelis that as long as their troops are in Lebanon, the United States has to assume that all weapons, including the jets, might be used offensively. The U.S. originally held up the shipment of the F-16s because of the Israeli invasion, and it had been widely speculated that the continued delay was related to the Lebanese crisis. But the president spelled out the policy, making it clear that if the Israelis withdraw, the planes would be on their way. Deborah Potter, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Speaking of planes, all of the Air Force's top-line fighter planes, the F-15s, have been grounded, and for the second time in less than 5 months. All 650 F-15s are being inspected for defective stabilizers that control the pitch, up or down. A similar problem had cropped up only last November. All the European markets are closed today. There are no gold prices to report, and so will the markets be closed in the United States for this Good Friday.
A clear and present danger has compelled the U.S. Marine Force in Beirut to take new defensive measures. Peter Sherman reports.
Because of an apparent increase in threats of terror attacks, U.S. Marines in Beirut have been ordered for the first time to attach bullet clips to their weapons while on patrol. Marine Commander Colonel James Meade says three factors contributed to the change in procedure. The wounding of five Marines by a hand grenade thrower 2 weeks ago last Wednesday, an increase in ambushes aimed at Israeli units near Beirut beginning a week later, and a Lebanese Army intelligence report that Marines were targeted for an attack earlier this week.
Based upon those three things, I have decided, and we implemented earlier this week, to put magazines into the weapons of all Marines on patrol. Now, we do not have a round in the chamber. It is just the magazine in the weapon to give us a little bit quicker response to the increased threat to those Marines on patrol.
Meade refuses to identify the group that allegedly planned to attack a patrol of Marines a few days ago. A knowledgeable source says it's believed to be pro-Iranian. Peter Sherman, CBS News, Beirut.
A bomb explosion in East and West Beirut today destroyed a store owned by the PLO selling clothing made by Palestinian refugees. Some 50 people have been killed by such explosions since January. Israel today replied with annoyance to President Reagan's embargo on the shipment of 75 F-16 fighter planes as long as Israeli troops remain in Lebanon. Speaking in Los Angeles yesterday, Mr. Reagan said that U.S. law requires that such weapons be used only for defensive purposes, whereas the Israeli military in Lebanon is an occupation force. In Tel Aviv, a senior Israeli official today described the president's statement as annoying. Israel's move into Lebanon, he said, was a war of self-defense par excellence. Now this.
The 115th Major League Baseball season begins Monday, April 4th. I'm Ed Engel, CBS Radio Sports.
I'll anchor opening day coverage with 7 opening day reports, calling on Ron Weber in Baltimore, where the Orioles face the Kansas City Royals, and Bill Sorrell in Cincinnati, where the Reds take on the Atlanta Braves. Listen for our 7 baseball opening day reports Monday, April 4th, on most of these CBS Radio Network stations. There's something special.
Mr. Carwell,
help me get him on the floor. He's not breathing.
Mr. Carwell's heart just stopped.
Get an ambulance.
But thanks to cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR, and training provided by the American Heart Association, his secretary has just saved his life.
No, I think he's responding.
All across America, people are learning this life-saving technique. CPR, another achievement of American Heart Association-supported research. We're fighting for your life.
Unemployment figures released today show a slight improvement in March, falling to 10.1% of the labor force, including the armed forces. The figure does not, however, include what is thought to be the sizable number of discouraged men and women who have given up the search for work. Janet Norwood of the Bureau of Labor Statistics speaks of them.
Women account for 3/5 of the discouraged worker group. The black population is also disproportionately represented among the discouraged. Blacks, who represent about 10% of the population, represent 20% of the unemployed and 30% of the discouraged worker group.
Pope John Paul II today led the world's Roman Catholics in the observance of Good Friday. He heard confessions in St. Peter's Basilica and is to walk the stations of the cross in Rome's ancient ruins. In Jerusalem, thousands of pilgrims walked through the old city, following the stations that tradition says Jesus walked as he carried the cross, leading to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. In Western Europe, the Easter season this year is a time of political action. In Britain, about 40,000 peace demonstrators, under the auspices of the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament, held a nonviolent protest today near Greenham Common, where American nuclear cruise missiles are to be deployed. More news after this.
Hot action in NCAA basketball's Final Four this Saturday. Kaywood Ledford and Marty Glickman will be in Albuquerque for all the play-by-play with Jim Kelly and Kirk Gowdy on color. It's North Carolina State head-to-head with Georgia in the first game, followed by Houston-Louisville. Then Monday night, it's the national championship game. But remember, hear NCAA Final Four action starting at 3:25 p.m. Eastern this Saturday on most of these CBS Radio Network stations. It's something special.
Hi, I'm George Allen, chairman of the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports. When was the last time you were in top physical shape? Remember how it felt? You had lots of energy, you looked great, you really felt great about yourself. It's not too late to feel that way again. Daily exercise takes a little perspiration, but lots of determination. You can do it, and we can help. Right, Fitness, Washington, D.C. Remember, fitness is for everyone. For life.
In Bogota, the head of Colombia's civil defense agency says the death toll could reach 500 in the earthquake which devastated the city of Popayan yesterday. He said up to 2,000 people may have been injured. Radio Hanoi today insisted there are no American servicemen captured during the Vietnam War still alive in Vietnam. The statement came in response to President Reagan's remarks on Tuesday that returned prisoners of war have seen other men. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News.